Good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody come by boat? You who have lived in town and remember the days of when we'd have a rain like we had this morning and it'd be, you know, 2-3 feet deep in a lot of the intersections around town. And boy, if it was high tide, it'd be deeper than that. Good to see Miss Kay here this morning. God bless you, Kay. And what a blessing. She will be running track here real soon. A lot of answers to prayer. And little Miss Carpenter's here with us today too, Ashley. Glad to have you today, Ashley. And Ryan, it's good to see you, son. And we pray for you. We prayed for you the other day that this is going to be a great time for you, a new chapter in your life. And who's this here with you? Nancy. Nancy, we're glad you're here today, Dawn. All righty. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Remember, we looked at this last week, and as we pray today, several people we need to pray for. A good friend of mine up in Middle Georgia called me early this morning, asked me to be praying for the Nunn family, Stephanie and Travis Nunn. They're part of First Baptist Church of Gray. Their daughter, 23-year-old daughter of the church, as they respond to this at this time. And we've got a lot of people that are ill and need the healing of the Lord on their life. And a lot of distraction right now, a lot of things going, a lot of competition. Lord's speaking, but then there's the drone of all these other circumstances that are going on. Do y'all feel that? And people that it's turning their head, and people that know better, turning their head from the Lord and from what He wants in this day. So would you join me as we pray, intercede for these? Lord, we give all honor and glory to You. There's no other in the earth. We bless You. And now, Lord, as we voice out these prayers of intercession for people who are on our hearts, we say, come, Lord. Come with Your power and Your strength. Come and touch their lives, this grieving family. Lord, these who are very ill, we have several in our hearts that cancer is in their body, and we're asking You to take that away. Lord, for families that are in the middle of struggle, Gary prayed for them just a moment ago, in the middle of tough things, we pray. And Lord, as we're praying all of these intercessions, I want to thank You for answers to prayer. I want to thank You for putting Your healing hand on Kay, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord, for protecting us the way that You have. I want to thank You, Lord, for guiding us through times of grief, Lord, and delivering us to the other side. I want to thank You, Lord, for protecting our children. Lord, thank You that Ryan is here with us today. And I thank You that You've taken him through the journey and You've got him on the other side now. And I ask You, God, Your blessing and that You would, Your hand would be upon him, Lord, and all that he puts his hand to. He'll listen to You. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your presence here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We agree in prayer, don't we? Amen. Okay. How many of you were here last week and we read this? How many were not here last week? Okay. All right. So let's read a little bit again for us. Chapter 10 in Acts. Okay. Thank you. We said last week as we were looking at Cornelius and Peter, and we're using this passage as a way to look at the values that we've been studying now for weeks. Used it as a picture, and you remember that we divided the field. We looked at. Did you do your homework and find out what the name of that feast was? Yes, Shavuot. That's right. And Pentecost is the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of that. And just so you remember this, where we are in time as you measure the feast, seven biblical that are delineated feasts. There are other feasts too that are referred to, but the seven, four have been fulfilled. Three around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Then the fourth one at Pentecost. So now we're waiting for the three fall feasts to be fulfilled. As the Lord fulfills everything that He said He was going to do, He's going to fulfill it. He is going to put it together. In that sense, we need to look at the Scripture as a whole. So too, now as we look at this passage, we saw the Pentecost that we usually just say is Acts 2. Now we come on down to Acts 10, and there seems to be another Pentecost. There seems to be another Pentecost. And so we call this second one here, what do we usually call it? The Gentile Pentecost. All right? If you're going to do it that way, that would be the Jewish Pentecost. Now I know some of my anal retentive theological types that would probably have a problem with this, but hey, too bad. This has delineated in Scripture because we put all our eggs in this basket and we forget to read the rest of what's going on. Come focused on one passage of Scripture when it is continuing to roll out. Because remember, too, that as you then look at the book of Acts, Samaria, right on out. And if you look and see how the book of Acts, that's an outline. These concentric circles is an outline of Acts. It's an outline of evangelism. It's an outline of how God works in our lives too. You think about you personally. As you come to know Christ, and then you begin to touch the people that are around you closest, then God brings you out. Now sometimes He'll jumpstart it. What happened in Jerusalem? Then at Pentecost, you had all these Jews that were there, and then where does the Lord send them? They jumpstart all the way out here, as the gospel goes out there to all these other places where they were spread to. So the thing that I suggested to you last week is that another way, just another view of looking at these two passages, and it's a way for us to kind of wrap our minds around some of these values that we've been talking about, is to see that first Pentecost in Acts 2 was kind of the large group side of life. We use a phrase a lot, we've used this phrase a lot in the last several months, You have what kind of vision? We need to have what kind of vision? 2020 vision. Why do we use 2020? Acts 20:20. And it says there, they met publicly, large groups publicly, and other side of life. We're going to see it in Acts 10, in the small groups, and they met house to house. Now, did that literally happen between what are the two cities that are mentioned here in Acts 10? Caesarea and Joppa. Okay? And where was Cornelius? He was at his house. Where was Peter? He was at the house of Simon the Tanner. So literally, what does the Lord do? If you want to get literal about this, He takes Peter from house to house. Got it? Now, I don't know that I've ever read any of this, anyone using this in this way, but I think it illustrates our values, what we've been talking about, very well. So with that set up, for those of you that were with us last week, we're going to go back through these values. We did a couple of them last week. Let's briefly go through those and then go through the rest of the list and see if they show these small group values. I think in all of these we see it both as a large group and as a small group, but specifically in a small group here in Acts 10. All right, our first value that we looked at, the church is a community of faith. How do you see that? How was that fulfilled in this passage? Church is a community of faith. Lord's already got community going on, hasn't He? As the gospel kind of comes out. Now, here, let me stop here and do a little footnote out to the side. We tend to want to see things as, okay, a person receives Christ and then all these things start happening after that. But it's not quite like that. And especially now in our world, what do we see God doing in these experiences? What was He doing in Cornelius' life in particular? Before He comes to the point where He really gets it and has the message presented to Him. What was happening? He was proving Himself faithful. What does Scripture call Him? He was a God-fearer. Now, so you already got some community going on there. Then over in Joppa, what's happening there? He's already in the house with Simon Tanner, so they've got some community. He wouldn't be staying there if there wasn't a community of faith existent there. But then the Lord does what? But something specifically, there's a revelation that comes. One of you said it earlier. Remember John 17? What does the Lord say in John 17 about community there? I mean, the Lord's high priestly prayer shows how He views community. One. He said, what are some of the statements He makes there? Come on now. He's joy complete, we are one. Who's He referring to when Yeshua says that? One with Yahweh, His Father. And then one with the Holy Spirit, one with the believers. Do you see all this oneness? It's all that. Well, now Peter has this. You talk about community. Here, he and Simon, right, you may not have ever thought about this passage like that. He's up on the rooftop. He's praying, and then this sheet comes down. How about when God comes and reigns on your party with revelation? Can you see that? He's making Himself known in community. And he does it with signs and wonders, too. He does it with His Word. He does it with miraculous things. Are you following me here? Can you see that? So, that first we see that the church is community faith. We can pursue that a long time. We need to move on. Church is based on relationships. Well, how do we see that in this passage? He's telling Peter, you're going to have to jump the fence. Well, who created the fence? That man did. All right, so, but how do you see this relationship thing back in Caesarea? What's already happening there? It's something quite unusual for a guy like Cornelius. What did you say, Donnie? Cornelius has already gathered his family in anticipation of the word. His family, his oikos. What's his position in town there, by the way? What's his? What does that mean? He's a big dog. He's a big dog before Jason was a big dog. All right. But he gathers all of them. And can you see that he doesn't have this austere remoteness as looking down to the people? It would have been very easy for him to do that. How do you see him? How do you picture this guy? And how does he see the people around him? He sees them all as ones that need the same thing that he's seeking. Can you see that? Are y'all following me here with this? You getting the application of where you live in this. That's what this is about. All right, third one. I forget all the ways I've rephrased the third one. But God is basically, He's working through His church in this day. How do you see that value? God's working today through His church. And was He experiencing, were they experiencing going some places they hadn't been before? Woo, man, you talk about... Woo, man. They've taken them to new places, the church. And can you see that the Lord has been continuing to do that since Pentecost? Can you see? As He's taken us today. Now, of course, the danger of that is what? When you're going to new places. As you go going out this way. As you're going forward on the timeline, what's the danger? Come on. You want to, oh, that means we can go new place. That means we can go where I want to go. And who was driving all of this to these new places? The Spirit of God. Spirit of God was upon it. The Spirit of God. It was happening. Okay. Number four. And so when they got over there, what did they have? Huh? Don't be a smart aleck, Regina. Oh, yeah, man. In fact, by the time the Lord gets through with it, you can't tell who's who, can you? They're all jumbled up in there, you know? And these guys are looking around, man, I had never experienced anything like this before. How about you, you know? And it's not some man that's up there orchestrating things. In fact, the guy that ought to know the most about it, Peter, is, he's never experienced any of this. He's not looking at his agenda and saying, you know, I've got all this. I need to do 1 through 10 with them when I get there, you know? He doesn't know what's happening. God's doing a great thing. All right, number four, church is open. See that value? Come on now. This may be one of the most obvious ones of all. Church is open. How does the story speak of that? Whew, man. It's 24/7. Open for business. Be listening, because you might be taking an adventure. So you got the... All right, so y'all saying that, man, the Jews now have to be... Man, they're going to be opened up to the Gentiles over here. But how about going the other way? What does it say to the Gentile? Got to be open here. To all that the Lord has been speaking, His whole counsel of what he's been speaking, there's a lot to learn there. A lot of things that to happen. All right. Fifth value that we looked at, the message of the crucified, risen, coming again, Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preeminent. How's that shown in the story? That value. He's completing that. He's completing that. What else? What does he do as soon as he gets to Caesarea? What comes out of his mouth? Go back and read it. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, verse 38, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went along doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things they did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And God raised him up on the third day and granted that he would become visible not to all the people but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God as to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while he was preaching, what had he just done? That's right. How much of the gospel did he preach? The full gospel. Here it is. Here it is. And so that message becomes preeminent, because it is the message of redemption. It's the message of the power of God. And we must remember that message. And it's the message that Cornelius and all those there were waiting to hear, because they had heard some of the truth, but they were waiting to hear the rest of it. Let me stop right there and ask you, are there people around you that are waiting for the rest of it? They've known just a little bit about God? They've heard a little bit? Somebody give an illustration of somebody in your life that's waiting on the rest of it. Something they already know about God, but they're waiting on the rest of it to come. They know there's a God. They're acknowledging that, but then what else do they need to know? I can't get to Him. So what do they need to hear? That He loves them. That Jesus is the way. That He came personally. Came personally for you. Used to love to hear W.A. Criswell preach on, heard many of his sermons, and he'd use this statement. He'd say, "The Lord came for somebody you." And he'd point that finger. Somebody you. That's who He came for. All right? Quickly, let's move on. Church is not a religion, it's a relationship. You see that? Is it pretty obvious? Who had to break with some of their presupposed past traditions in this story? We think of Peter, but who else? Cornelius. You know, it doesn't say, but what was Cornelius probably steeped in before he became a God-fearer and was seeking after the Lord? Which meant that he would have to bow the knee primarily to whom? And he's living in a city that is named for Caesar. That's a whole other thing. Do y'all remember those Bible studies we think about Caesarea? Remember all that? And so if it wasn't happening anywhere else, it was happening there. Okay. Church is not convenient. But they also did at Pentecost, they did go back. It wasn't because of persecution. They were just going back home. But then all those what happens in 70 AD? You see that? Church not convenient. How do you see that in the passage? I knew somebody to ask that question, and I wouldn't know how many miles it was. It was about a day of who walking. Is that a day Peter riding his bike? Or is that a day of Dusty going on a stroll? Just want to see if you were awake, Peter. All right. Oh. So what was inconvenient in this story? Who had to overcome inconvenience in this story? For anything that? Had Cornelius overcome? What conveniences did he have to overcome? Here's a man that leveraged his influence. Did he not? All right. And how about on Peter's end? Any inconvenience there? Drop everything, go to another, say, well, Lord, you had this evangelistic campaign in line. I was going to be teaching at this town and this town and this town. But whew, turn around. Yeah. And then it's with people that, man, Lord, you saved them too? All right, number eight, the Church of Love Affair. How do you see that? Boy, what great love shown by him. And this is before he even gets the entire story. And then the experience, once Peter and the others get there to their household, can you feel the love, just the baptism of love that just takes place there? I mean, it's fantastic. Okay. Form follows function. This ought to be easy. How's that illustrated in the story? Form follows function. Spirit of God's leading them, and that functionality of listening to the Spirit, and I don't have to think it up for myself. So was that got to be affirming to Peter and to those around? What was it dependent upon? Power of God. Yes, sir, Ashley, that's exactly right. Can you imagine Peter? I started to get out this, but see, this would be wrong. I was thinking Peter would get out his notes, but he wasn't going to have a codex. He was going to have I'm wadding up your bulletin, I'm sorry. Can you see him shuffling around? Wait a second, I preached that sermon at Pentecost. Wait a second, you know. Where's this sermon coming from? Lord put it in his heart, and he's just opening up his heart, that heart of love, and is sharing that. And is it messy? Excellent. Book of Galatians. You know, there. Paul pretty well busts Peter out about his connection with that. And all right. Church not perfect. About that value. Did we see that? Who illustrated this non-perfection thing very well, as he has done many times in his lifetime? Peter. When the sheet starts coming down, and he sees all that's on there, what does he say? Woo, man. Can you just, just struggling with that. But you see that, I'm going to write this so you'll remember it. He probably backs up on more truth. But you see, we're like that too. We tend, we're looking for something, and what do? You back right into it. And Peter did that. All right, number 11. Church shares life. How much of himself do you think Peter shared? How much of himself do you think Cornelius shared? It was all out there. They had not held anything back as they shared. That's sharing life. It's not withholding. And directly in the life of Cornelius. I wonder what their relationship was like from this time on. I wonder if there were times when Cornelius continued to use and leverage his influence that he had with government and with military that aided Peter. You ever thought about that? Each one, reach one. What if Peter had been disobedient? Well, we could what if all day long, couldn't we? But he was obedient. Do you see these values now worked out? All we did today, if you engaged. Now, if you didn't engage today, if you came and you just out, you checked out, you didn't get anything today. But if you engaged with this today, What did you see? You saw all these values, and all we did was read one chapter in the book of Acts. And we got to see every one of those things that we've been talking about for 2 months illustrated there for you to see it happen. Now, why did I do that? Because I wanted you to see it for you, where you live, with the people you're involved with, that God's coming and speaking to you. It may not be a sheet coming down out of heaven, that kind of, but He's bringing revelation to you, and He's pricking your heart, and He's calling on you to cooperate with Him, to cooperate in the Spirit. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be inconvenienced? Are you willing to be taken beyond what you think, what your presuppositions are? You're willing to do that. And finally it gets down, do you really love people enough to do that? Or are you satisfied just to sit in your own us for no more kind of conclave, your own compound, and throw a few grenades over the gospel grenades over the wall occasionally? Are you willing, though, to get into the mess of people's lives? Because when you get into today's society, what are you going to get into? It is messy. Because all the thing with families, with mixed up, with all the stuff, that list that Gary prayed through. at the end of our worship time. That list of all that stuff, that's who we're dealing with. We see it in our own lives. We see it in our own families. See, in that sense, God, He's using us at Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost. And He wants to use you. And you say, oh, I'm praying for that He's going to use other people. I can stay behind. No! It's both and. You pray for your brother and sister, but there are people in your life who need Jesus now. Living your life out. Being obedient to what He tells you to do, Peter. And now you also saying like Him that you're the rock, you got a hard head like Him. Is that what you're saying?
No, not like that. Like Freddie.
I know, Peter. That's right. Being obedient. Using. It's not God used me to be like so-and-so. No, He created you in His image. He wants to use you right where you are.
He's making you so of people.
That's right.
Who he is.
Being a reflector of the Son of God. All right. Lord, take it to our hearts. Lord, this week, as we begin on the first day of this new week, we'll prove out our obedience to this. Whether it's good information, or we allow the power of God to come upon us in the trenches where we live and the people that are around us. Amen.